This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of the ESV Scripture Journals. Pairing individual books of the Bible with blank pages, you can journal as you read, listening to a sermon, or study the Bible. Now through March 31st, 2021, Risen Motherhood listeners can pick up the black or illuminated ESV Scripture Journals individually or as an Old Testament or New Testament set for 40% off with a free Crossway Plus membership. Just head over to crossway.org/risenmotherhood for more info. We're so thankful for Crossway's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, Laura Wiffler here, and I just want to welcome you back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. We are in the middle of our Fear series. This is episode 5, and we are thrilled to keep going with you guys. And before we get into today's show and I tell you what is coming ahead, because it's going to be awesome, I wanted to take a moment to remind you all that, you know, in some instances and some experiences of fear, they do require professional counseling, pastoral care, or a medical doctor. And so if you are finding yourself in a situation that feels a lot larger than the topics that we've covered throughout this series and that we will yet cover, I just want to encourage you guys personally to seek help from professionals who are trained to care for you best in this struggle. So with that out of the way, I want to welcome today. We have a guest on our show. It's actually really interesting. We're actually going to give you guys a replay of a Revive Our Hearts episode from Nancy DeMoss-Wilgemuth. She was on our show perhaps a year or two ago, and she did an awesome job. We interviewed her in our Faithful Motherhood series, and today's episode I heard air on Revive Our Hearts, and I just thought, man, this is a message that I want all moms to hear. I want all women to hear. And so this episode is called Joy Over Fear, and it's part of a larger series that she did about a year ago on the Proverbs 31 woman. And so there are a couple of episodes in this series. We're just kind of plucking one out that we felt like would be really helpful for all of you guys. But if you want to hear the full series from Revive Our Hearts, please head over to our show notes. We will keep a link in there that you can click over and find all the episodes that ROH has, as well as all sorts of other wonderful content. It's a wonderful ministry. We're really grateful for them. And we are just so excited to be able to share Nancy's message with you guys today. And so whatever you're doing, whether you're in the car, you're on your way to work, you're dropping off kids, or you're at home doing dishes or the laundry, I hope that this message is a blessing to you today.
It's about 6 months ago that the Lord put two verses from the Old Testament on my heart to share with a group of women that I had been asked to speak to. And I shared those verses with them, and it seemed to minister to them. So within the next several weeks, I had several speaking engagements, and I shared that message or a version of it 5 or 6 times within the period of a few weeks. And what I didn't realize at the time was how much I was going to need that message and those two verses, and that the Lord was preparing my heart for what was ahead in the coming weeks. But I've been dreading at points some of what is unknown to me about the future, and I've been dreading some of what is known to me about the future. And I'm sure that you've had moments of dreading both the known and the unknown. But over and over again, I found myself going back to those two verses that the Lord put on my heart months ago and counseling my heart with the truth of God's word. And I found that these two verses have been a life preserver, a lifeline, a life jacket that have buoyed my heart and my emotions and my thoughts in the midst of some turbulent waters. And so I don't know what you may be facing today, or maybe your life is going fine right now, but I could give you an advance notice that around the corner you're going to be facing some things that are difficult. I don't know if it's tomorrow or next week or next year, but you can count on it. You're either coming out of a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're heading into a storm. I mean, that's just life here in this fallen world. And so you may be facing some things that cause you to be anxious or fearful about the future, to dread what lies ahead. And I believe that these words the Lord has spoken to my heart from Proverbs chapter 31 are words that every Christian woman needs to hear and to embrace. And so over these next few days, I want to meditate with you on these two verses and just unpack for you some of what they have been saying in my life. So Proverbs 31, if you're turning there, you can look for yourself at these two verses. Now, when I say Proverbs 31, I know that a lot of women just kind of groan inside because we think of this woman of excellence, this woman of virtue, and we're prone to focus on all the things this woman does. I mean, she's a good cook. She keeps her house clean. She sews. She makes things. She never goes to bed at night. I mean, she's just amazing, this woman's energy and skills, her abilities, her diligence, her productivity. It's important for us to understand that the things this woman does, her work, her efforts, they all flow out of who she is. Her character, her heart attitudes, her relationship with God. And we're going to pick up on that heart as we read these two verses in Proverbs chapter 31. I'm looking at verse 21 and then at verse 25. Verse 21 says, "She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet." And then verse 25, "Strength and dignity," or strength and honor, some of your translations say. "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come." Or as some of your translation says, "she smiles at the future." So I want to look today at verse 21 and focus on that phrase, "she is not afraid." Verse 21, "she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet." Now, snow represents the cold weather, the frost, the storms that are coming. If you've been to Israel, you know that Israel is basically a warm country. It doesn't snow there very often, but it does occasionally snow. It can get cold. And here's a woman who has taken measures to prepare her family for the snow when it does happen. It's not something that happens every day. It's not something that happens often, but she's taken steps to prepare her family for when the snow does come. She knows the snow is coming, and yet she's not afraid. She's not afraid. And that's a phrase that God needs to speak to the heart of many of the women in this room. She is not afraid. Now, that doesn't mean that problems are not coming for this woman or for you. They are. The snow is coming. She doesn't have her head in the sand. She's not oblivious to the issues. She's a woman who is knowledgeable. She's alert. She's aware of what's going on. She's not a woman who just, you know, sticks her head in the sand and says, "oh, there are no problems going to come in the news or in the world or in my family." She knows they are going to come. But the thought of cold weather, the thought of crises, the thought of difficult or trying circumstances does not cause this woman to panic. She's not caught off guard. And that's because she has thought ahead. She has anticipated the issues. She has planned. She has made necessary preparations for her family's needs to be met. And she's done it before the snow comes, before the storm comes. Here's a woman who's proactive. Not just what some of us are, and that's reactive. You know, the storm comes and then we say, "oh my, what am I going to do?" She has thought ahead. She's proactive in preparing her heart, her life, and her family for the storms coming. She makes the kinds of choices today that will enable her to face the future days without fear. So when the storm comes, she can use the deposits that she's made. They're in the bank. She's made the preparations in advance. Now, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. That word scarlet is an interesting word, and there are different translators over the years that have translated it in two different ways. The ESV, the English Standard Version that I'm teaching from, has a marginal note that says the word scarlet could be translated double thickness. Double thickness. In fact, some of the old translations, the Septuagint, the Latin Vulgate translations, translate this double garments. Her household are clothed in double garments. They are doubly clothed. And that makes sense if you're thinking about snow coming, that that would be the meaning, that her family is warmly clothed. They're adequately clothed. They have warm enough clothes to get them through the cold winter snow and storms. And some commentators believe that this translation makes better sense than the word scarlet, because after all, how can a color, scarlet, keep you warm in cold weather? But most translations, most modern translations, do translate the word scarlet. And if that is the correct translation, it is referring to a color, but the color scarlet, scarlet clothing in that era would have represented high-quality clothing because it was more expensive. It was harder to come by, and we'll see why in just a few moments. So her family is clothed in the quality of clothing that they need to take them through stormy weather. Her household are all clothed in scarlet. Here's a woman who cares for her household. And I would say by way of application and expansion of this concept, it's not just her literal family, though if you have a husband and children, that should be your first concern of those that you care for. But some of us in this room do not have a husband, do not have children. And I believe household could apply to any of those that we care for, those that we serve, those that we minister to, those that we're responsible for in some way. And here's a woman who is concerned about the needs of her household. Not concerned first about her own needs, but concerned first about the needs of others. Here's a woman, and you see it all the way through Proverbs 31, who lives first for God, then for others, and then trusts God to care for her own needs. And as we think about our own lives, I think the call is for us to make sure that we are caring adequately for the needs of those that God has entrusted to our care. Rather than worrying first about our own needs, if we will serve the Lord, serve others, then God will make sure that our needs are met. She's a woman who plans ahead. She's diligent. She works hard. She's intentional. She makes sure that her family is prepared for what lies ahead. Now, the scripture says that she's preparing her family for snow. And I think in the immediate context here, it's speaking literally of storms, cold weather, inclement weather. She's preparing them, making sure that their physical needs are met when the storm comes. But as I've been meditating on this passage, I think we can make a spiritual application here about the word snow. Snow can refer, of course, and it does in this passage, to physical, literal storms. But there's other kind of snow that comes into our lives. There are other kinds of storms, the storms of life, economic pressures, physical pressures, relational issues, marriage issues. There are health issues that we face. There are conflicts in relationships, and there are storms of life, things that catch you off guard, things you weren't expecting, things that you didn't know were around the corner. And some of you, as I've said, are in some of those storms perhaps right now. Here's a woman who has looked ahead and taken the time to prepare her family, those under her care, for the storms that lie ahead. She has taken time to train them, to fill their minds with the Word of God, to teach them how to think biblically about those circumstances of life. For example, and we won't look there now, but the first 9 verses of Proverbs 31 are a good illustration of this. King Lemuel, we don't know who he was, but his mother speaks to him in those first 9 verses, and undoubtedly before he was the king, but as he was being prepared to become the king, perhaps as he was a young man or even a boy, she taught him things that would prepare him for his future as the king. And she talked to him about very practical things. She warned him against immorality, against the use of alcohol, against indifference to the needs of others. And she tries to build into his life the character qualities of purity and sobriety and compassion. She's preparing him for the snow, for the storms that are coming. She's getting him ready for the future. The wise woman, the true woman, the woman of God, prepares her family and those within her care for the future. And she prepares them also for the storms that relate to God's judgment and God's wrath. Those are storms that are coming someday to every part of this planet. And she prepares those she loves for those storms. And how does she do it? By pointing them to Christ, by pointing them to the gospel. That word scarlet refers to a dye, the scarlet dye in these clothes, comes from an insect. And the insect is called the tola, T-O-L-A, worm. In fact, usually when this word in the Hebrew is used in the scripture, it's translated scarlet. But sometimes it's actually translated worm. That worm, that insect, when it's crushed to death, it releases a fluid that is used to make this scarlet dye that is put into those clothes. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a worm, so to speak, on our behalf. It pleased God to crush him, Isaiah 53 says, to put him to death. He was crushed. He shed his blood for our sins. And I believe that that scarlet in Proverbs 31, with which her household is clothed, could be seen as a symbol, an emblem for the blood of Christ, by which we are justified and by which we are able to be clothed in his righteousness. So as you think about your children, your family, those within your care, it's a call not just to be concerned about getting their physical needs met. That's important. And a wise woman does that. But also to be concerned that their spiritual needs are met, that they are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now, you can't do that for them. You can't save your children. But you can create a climate and an environment where they're surrounded with the reality of the gospel, where you're proclaiming Christ to them, where you're living out what it means to have a relationship, an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, where you're pointing them to the cross, where you're letting them know what really matters. And in so doing, you are clothing them in scarlet. You're preparing them for the storms down the road. Harold Ironside, in his commentary on this passage, says that Jesus was bruised and slain so that all his redeemed might be clothed in splendor for eternity. And isn't that what you want for your family? Are you taking concern, care for their spiritual future? Or are you just getting caught up in the demands and the responsibilities of everyday life, getting them clothed, fed, to school on time, to ballet lessons, to soccer practice? Is your life just filled with those things? And have you been neglecting their spiritual care? The wise woman is not afraid of snow for her household, of the future, of the wrath of God, the judgment of God, of future trials that her family may experience, because she has taken care and concern and precautions to make sure that they are clothed with scarlet, clothed with Christ. Now, here's the woman who is not afraid. She's not afraid. You know, when you think about the future, there's a lot you could be afraid of. Any one of us. I mean, we could come up with quite the list of things we could be afraid of. You know, like some of you have kids getting ready to get a driver's license. That's something to be afraid of. Your kids growing up, leaving home, parents getting Alzheimer's, your husband losing his job, a child killed in an automobile accident, as happened last week to some very dear friends of mine, family on our staff. Your husband deciding he doesn't love you anymore, leaving the marriage, being unfaithful. A lot of things could happen. Some of those things are happening in some of your lives. We need to remember that the righteous people are not going to be exempt from bad weather. But as godly women, true women, we can face the prospect of the future in a way that is qualitatively different than the rest of the world. The natural woman is insecure. She hoards what she has because she's afraid of running out, not having enough. But the woman of strength and dignity is generous. She shares what she has with others, trusting that when she has a need, God will meet it. And in fact, that's what you see about this woman in verse 20 of Proverbs 31. It says, she opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's generous. Even though she knows storms are coming, she doesn't hoard the little bit she has. She's generous and she trusts that God will meet her needs. The natural woman has a tendency to give into depression and despair when she thinks about the storms that are coming. But the woman of strength and dignity has hope. She exhibits joy, regardless of how grim or dark the future may look. Ladies, people should be able to look at Christian women and see a response to troubling times that is different, unexplainable. And let me tell you this, the world is not impressed when you are happy and peaceful and joyful in the good times. But when you go through the tough times and you don't crack up, fall apart, get into depression and despair, they take notice. That's when the gospel that we preach becomes believable to those that we live with. Thinking about a woman who came up to me recently, and she said, "My husband has lost his job, and I've lost my job." And then she said with a big smile, "But we still have Jesus." That's a woman who is a woman of strength and dignity.
Hi, my name is Claire, and I donate to Risen Motherhood because God has used Risen Motherhood to teach me to preach the gospel to myself and also seek to see all of life through a gospel lens. Because of Risen Motherhood, my hope in motherhood rests not in my own work or ability, but in the finished work of Jesus. It is He who I long to point my kids to. Join me in providing free gospel-centered resources for moms through Risen Motherhood at risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by people just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry of Risen Motherhood, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.